Again, if this is your first time here, welcome to New Season This Morning. My name is Pastor Justin. I am the oldest son of the senior pastors here, and I've been in this building since it's starting almost, is it 18? 18 years ago tomorrow. Holy cow. That is the majority of my life, being in here. And it's always an honor and a privilege to go from being a little annoying kid that some people might have to deal with here to being able to preach. It's awesome. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. So I want to pray before we begin. So one more time, if you just close your eyes with me, and we're going to pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before your people and present your word. Lord, I pray that not an ounce of myself would come forward, but only your word. Lord, anything that's in my notes that's not supposed to be there, I pray that would be removed right now by some kind of divine whiteout. And Lord, anything that you want to say that I did not write, Lord, I pray that you would write it upon my heart right now. I thank you for preparing us. And I thank you for anything that you're doing right now in Samoa. They're not doing church service the same time as we are right now, but I thank you that your spirit would be there and covering them at this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So for those of you also who don't know, I know that my mom covered it a little bit ago, but there's a lot of us who are in Samoa right now. Half the worship team and Pastor Sean is in Samoa right now. And so for these next 3 weeks, there'll be guest speakers, I being one of them today. And I am going to be very transparent and tell on myself right now. I was given 3 weeks. Me and a couple of their pastors were given 3 weeks to decide which week we wanted. And I said, I will do today or 2 weeks from now. I am not doing next week because it's the Super Bowl. And I will be out of here very fast. For those of you who know me, I am a very big football fan. I love football. I love it very much. I almost, because of the topic that I'm going to be kind of touching on today, I almost wore my football jersey today. My loving and discerning wife said, probably not the football jersey on stage while preaching today, but I thought it would have been fun. But if you are taking notes, the title of the message today is Same Jersey. Same Jersey. And this is why. I am a huge football fan. I love it very much. I love the community that it creates. I love the game. I love the stories. I love having people around me to watch football. It's a fantastic game. I played it. I will say, I will admit, I love so much about football. There's one part that is weird to me, even me owning jerseys. Us wearing jerseys with another guy's name on it, just think about it for longer than you ever have, and you'll begin to see why it's a little weird. It's one of those things that, like, if you're talking to an alien and introducing pieces of American culture to someone who knows nothing, they would be like, they're psychos. Like, see that guy down there? I like him so much, I put his name on my back. Is that your name? No. Okay. So are you related to that guy? Not at all. But I like the way he throws the ball so much, his name is here. That's another grown man's name on your back. And you bought it and wore it. And it's weird. And I have a jersey. I have a Larry Fitzgerald jersey. He's my favorite football player of all time. He's amazing. I love him. But it is strange to put his name on my back, right? To claim. Now, it's fine if I'm wearing a Cardinals jersey. We're all wearing Cardinals jerseys. We all like the Cardinals. There's a lot of mixed opinions in this place. Some Broncos fans are very happy this week, I'm sure. If you know, you know. There's a lot of Cowboys fans very sad this week, if you know, you know. but if you just wore like a blank jersey, you know, we're all on the same team. But like when you put another person's name on there, it's a little strange, right? Well, something like this happened to Paul, and he writes the Corinthian church about it. So we're going to pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, and we're going to jump around a little bit from there. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely being human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We're going to jump to later in the chapter, verses 21 through 23. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So what's going on here, and for anyone to know, Cephas there is another way to say Peter. So he's talking about Peter there, for anyone who doesn't know. So right there, there's an argument that's happening in the Corinthian church on following Christ, but then following their favorite teacher or the doctrine that they've heard from each of them. And there was bickering and some division amongst them. And some were saying, well, I follow the teachings of Paul, or I follow the way that Apollos taught, or I follow Peter's way. And there were little variants in the way that each of them approached it. And so this was them claiming each of the divisions on who they're putting on the back of their jersey. And this is the start of a mentality of some denominational divides. Now, whenever you might be introducing someone to New Season, or you invite someone to church, or you talk to them about their church, I'm going to call a little bit of a Christian elephant in the room out right now. Whenever people talk about church, and you're like, oh, I'll go to New Season. And do people go like, oh, what's the denomination? What's the denomination? Is that, you notice a little bit of tension whenever people bring up that question? It's almost like asking, like, are you pregnant? It feels like that a little bit. Does anyone feel that? If you're really quiet. You can laugh at that if you felt it. Thank you. I feel it when I ask people, like, oh, yeah, I go to church. I'm like, oh, okay, like what style? You know, what kind of church? And then you wait for the answer. And a lot of the times people will be like, oh, non-denominational. I'm like, okay, cool. Just blanket it. We're good here, right? And I feel like this message is going to be a little bit like preaching to the choir, being that we are a non-denominational church. But I think we can feel this sometimes when we're engaging with other people in faith. There can be some people who write some lines because they have denominational preferences. And I think that that is extremely dangerous. And I think it can be a tactic of the enemy to be like, okay, they're getting close again. So let's just throw some other names in there to bring their eyes off of Christ and onto a man who's faulty, and you follow a man and he starts to sin, and the entirety of your relationship with God is struck because you tied your wagon to a man instead of Christ. So Luke chapter 9, verses 49 through 50. John answered, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we try to stop him because he doesn't follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. I love to think that John's saying it all like snarky and cocky like that. Like, I did a good thing. Jesus is going to be proud of me. And I like to think Jesus is just very nonchalant. Okay, don't do that. But he's not one of us. He's not wearing our jersey. And Jesus is saying, is he doing what I do in my name and bearing my fruit? Yeah. Okay, then no stop him. Is that church doing the same Jesus work that we're doing and bearing the same fruit? Yeah? Okay. Then it's cool if they go there. Okay? It's fine. I'm going to say something that might make a few people uncomfortable. There are some very good, very saved, very nice Catholics. All right? There are some very good, very saved, very awesome people who don't go to church at all that follow Jesus still. And as long as they claim Jesus and bear his fruit, because that's important, because there's a lot of people who might be in this church right now who don't bear any fruit. My dad would be so proud of me right now. So we need to be united in a front together on the same team, not being fans in the stands wearing jerseys of people down on the field and being divided against the outcome. We need to have the same name. We need to be Notre Dame, right, Pastor Larry? There's no names on the back of those jerseys. Some good old Catholic boys, just no names on the back of their jerseys because they are one team with one goal and one purpose. They are united, and that's what we need to remember we are. Cheyenne and I, we are now proud, reluctant, scared coaches of 4 and 5-year-olds on a soccer field. And we did not do it intentionally. We signed up because we thought we were going to be parent helpers. We thought we were going to bring orange slices and put out cones and say, good job, guys. Instead, we got to the meeting and found out we're the full-on coaches and we have no other helpers. It's just us. Thank you. I needed that support. It is hard. I have a 4-year-old and dealing with 8 other 4-year-olds it's fun for like 15 seconds and then really sad for like an hour. But it is fun to watch them though, because, and I divided them up this last week. I said, okay, we're going to do a little scrimmage. You guys are on defense and then you guys are on offense and you got to get the ball into the net. And what happens? Everyone chases the ball at the same time. Even everybody, the ones that were on the same team, like in the scrimmage, were taking it from one another to try and get it to the net. And guess how many goals were scored? 0! Guess how many times it went out of bounds? Every time it was kicked. They're on the same team, but they were taking the ball from one another, and there was no positive results. We need to remember we're on the same team with the same goal. So I have 3 points for us to help us remember. When we get into the point, when we get to this mentality of like us versus them within the church, and to remind us to be, okay, we got to be unified. We got to be together. We got to remember we're the same team. So these are 3 points that I have to help us remember. When we're feeling divided, this reminds us, okay, we are the same one. So point number one, we have the same name on the back. It's the same name on the back. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 7, through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Slave mentality, if you're familiar with Book of Exodus. And Pastor John kind of touched on this. We'll touch on this in the deep roots, I should say. The mentality of the slaves was, mine, what can God do for me? He's gone for a second. Let's build another God. I need to feel safe. We need something. I'm not getting enough. I want to go back to Egypt. At least I had food there. Slave is a famine mentality. And a famine mentality is mine, me. I need to make sure I'm safe. It's about what I want and what I need. And then I need to please the master. And then there's a distant relationship between the slave and the master. It's a horrible way to live. So an adoption in removes the slave title and makes us sons and daughters to the king. And when you get adopted, what happens? You get the name. Did you know, you don't know what I'm going to say. My dad's last name by birth wasn't Capozzi. Shocker. That we're not actually that Italian. Look how white I am. Any tan skin my children got is from their mother. Our last name, if my dad was not adopted in by his stepfather, who is our grandfather who just passed away recently, Jim Capozzi, before that, it would have been Kemp. Thank God it's not Kemp. If your last name's Kemp, no offense, but Capozzi is way cooler. Way cooler. I like it way more. But he was adopted in and started a new lineage. because Jim Capozzi had no other children, and his siblings had no other children. So the only surviving of the last name Capozzi by that family is us. And we were adopted in, and we get to start a legacy that way. Do you understand? We are adopted into the legacy and the kingdom of Christ, and our jerseys all have the same last name on them. And not just here at New Season, but in every church in Apache Junction, whether you like it or not, every church who claims Christ in Apache Junction has the same last name. And in Mesa, and in Chandler, and in Samoa, and in Dubai, pray for the ones that might be in Dubai. We have the same name, and we have the same goals that we need to accomplish together. It's no more, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Nazarene, I'm non-denominational. I am a follower of the way of Jesus Christ. And I love that we here at New Season are non-denominational. And I just get to say, this is my church, and I love Jesus. And it's as simple as that. And so again, it feels that that part, I'm preaching to the choir. But this is a mentality that we need to penetrate through with our lives and the way that we live, right? Being followers of Jesus. And I'd like to see people no longer introduce themselves. Like, oh, well, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Nazarene, I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, my nephews on Cheyenne's side, Braden and Jeremiah, there's two NFL players that got drafted that had their last names this year, Pacheco and McBride, one of them being a Cardinal, so very proud of it. But what we did for them for Christmas, I was like, how cool is it having someone with your last name actually in the NFL to get you a jersey or shirt from them so that you could claim it? And we gave one when they opened it for Christmas, the older one, whose last name is McBride. He got that shirt, and his eyes just filled up with tears. I was not expecting this. But it was cool for him to have something that he could put on to claim, like, that's my name, and there's a player with my name, and I get to root for that guy. I don't have the scripture up, but there is a talking on about putting on the robe of the king. When the father found the prodigal son, put the robe on him. We get to put on, there is another scripture saying that you have to put on your wedding clothes before you enter into the wedding. If anyone's familiar with that, a little backstory that the king invited people into the wedding feast. And the guy who wasn't wearing the wedding clothes wasn't allowed in. We have to put on and take pride and ownership in the name that we carry, the jersey that we carry, the shirt that we carry that claims, I am Christ, don't let it be hidden. Let the name declare itself proudly. So that's point number one. Now, that's reminding that we're on the same team, we have the same name, but what's the same goal? Matthew 25. 31 through 46. This is the goal that we're unified in. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, who are the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you goats. You cursed goats into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer to them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is point number two. We need to be on team goat, not team goat. Team goat, not team goat. Now, this is a sports analogy if no one's heard of it before. G-O-A-T is greatest of all time, which is a god. And we need to not be on team goat going into eternal punishment and damnation. One thing is not like the other. Listen to what was listed, though, that the goats didn't do and that the righteous sheep did do. They helped even the least of these with hunger and with thirst and visiting in prison, and it doesn't say what they were in prison for, so keep that in mind. And they clothed them, and they housed them. It did not say, and the sheep made sure to have proper doctrine, and they argued with those who were against them on the internet. Good job! Not all who cry out, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father, in another scripture. It is not those who kept themselves only undefiled by the world, but also those who do the will of my Father. And the will of the Father is making sure people are loved and in community and taken care of. And it said even the least of these. When the least of these was in prison, you did what? Gossip about them? When the least of these was naked and on the side of the road, did you say, get a job? Now, some of them really should get a job, but it's not always their fault that they're there, and it's not our job to make sure that the way that you're like, oh, I'm a philosopher, and I've got proper doctrine, and you shouldn't go see them over there, and I have the words of truth. Even Paul said it in 1 Corinthians in the famous love chapter. We like to talk about verses 4 through 8, which is like, oh, it's all about love. He said earlier, if I have all proper doctrine and I know how to speak in tongues of angels and I'm, oh, Mr. Holy, but I don't have love, which is to care for those, I have nothing. Nothing. When we're on the same team, we look out for one another and not be Mr. Know-it-all. There wasn't one little piece of the credentials that Jesus said in separating between goats and sheep that had anything to do other than taking care of people. Now, is proper doctrine important? For sure. Because there's a lot of doctrine out there that excuses sin now that is not loving people if we don't call one another out. But there's logs that need to get taken care of before specs. So proper doctrine is important, and the more that we're in our word, the more we'll recognize our own need for his grace, which will give us more grace to give to others, which makes us better at loving people. So yes, proper doctrine is incredibly important. Please don't take sound bites of what I'm saying. It's, well, Pastor Sean's away, and Pastor Justin says, just like everybody and let everyone in all the time. It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we need to not be sticking our noses up so much and include people more. We're on a team. We're in this together. We have the same name on the back, and we need to be on team goat and not on team goat. And point number three. Nice, quick message regardless. Regardless of if next week's the Super Bowl. Point number three. Home is where the heart is. John chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Home is where the heart is. When we're family, united, together, where your heart is, where your investment is, that's where the team is. Twofold then. Wherever we worship in spirit and truth is where church is. In your home with your family, at a park with two other churches, how timely. But I'll tell you this, if you're here and not worshiping because we're doing video that starts 20 seconds later than it normally does, and you're not worshiping, this isn't your church. You didn't meet with God here. You're not on the team. You can be sitting in your seat and not happy that you don't know the words to the song, and has nothing to do with that. I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't meet with God today. Not with his family, not corporately. You were here, but if you didn't engage your heart in worship and worship in spirit and in truth and not in tradition, and not for the sake of saying like, oh, I was here at least today, I showed up. And this, if this is you're a visitor, or you're like, you're still trying to figure out what you think about Jesus, I'm not calling you out, but you've been here like 10 years. You have a responsibility to the God who saved you and showed you grace and who's telling you to worship in spirit and truth. You have a responsibility to worship here, or find the place that you will worship. But if you're going to claim here, then worship here. And whenever you're at your house, and things are not going super great, and instead of trying to get in arguments, men, lead your families and worship and engage your hearts to change the atmosphere, to bring heaven there. You need to be on the same team with your wife. You need to be on the same team with your husband. You need to be on the same team with your children. You need to be on the same team with your coworkers. Not necessarily saying it's always appropriate to worship there, but your heart can still be there in the spirit. Because guess what? They didn't have basses and drums and guitars back then when Jesus said it. Not everybody knew how to play worship. So how did you have worship there? You engage meditatively and in prayer and impacting your heart with God in that way. We need to be on the same team here and not be happy like, oh, I wonder where the funds are going, or like, oh, I wonder what that church is doing, or I like that worship team more. It's a matter of the heart. And we need to be the same thing. If we go visit another church, like, oh, you know, our worship team is so much better than over here. We need to understand that God can be worshipped with a kid who's playing off tune. We need to understand that we go somewhere and they sing hymns. Give me a good old hymn, right? We got somebody dancing off the side. That's not my cup of tea. What are they doing unto the Lord? And it is the fruit of their heart showing that they love Jesus. Then let them dance. We need to remember that we have the same name on the back. We need to be on team boat. And we need to remember that home is where the heart is. Right? We're on the same team together? All right. Not overly emotional message. I am done. Please stand with me. Let's pray out. Father God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my team. I thank you that we engage with you together here. Lord, I pray that we would engage with you wherever we go. Lord, I thank you for the city of Apache Junction, and I thank you for your kingdom here. I pray that it would grow in every place of worship. Lord, in every home, Lord, that claims you, I pray that we would be lights no matter where we go, and we would claim you, Jesus. I thank you for your goodness. I pray that you would protect the Samoa team. I pray that you protect us as we go about our week, and I thank you for every good thing you're going to do for every person in this place here today as they go forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.